joining you live tonight. Got a great program. Won't you stay tuned, call a friend, and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is on the air tonight. We're live here on the sixth day of April, moving right along, friends, toward our Passover coming up next month in Murphy, North Carolina. You want to join us there on the 18th. We're starting on the evening, that Sunday evening on the 18th. We'll be there live and direct in Murphy, North Carolina at the Mountain Vista Inn to kick off our service there in an old-fashioned foot washing as we begin the festival of the second Passover. I want you to be there. Well, let's get right into the message tonight. And tonight's title is Marriage Honorable in Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the institution of marriage, it's incredible how that in the beginning Yahweh took Eve from the rib of Adam. And by doing so, he developed this marriage thing. In other words, the offspring begin to marry. And Matthew 19, where we'll launch our text tonight and build you a gestalt, as we're going to get into some of the things that make marriage so holy. And a lot of people have erred greatly by seeking the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, or the lust of the eye, or for other reasons, money, or a opportunity to do something, or maybe just a plain bad decision. You see, marriage should be prayed about. It should be looked at real honestly. And it is one of the most critical, I would rank it the third most critical decision in your life, outside of obtaining the revelation, salvation, and repentance and baptism in the name of Yahweh. Marriage ranks right up there among the top five of the priorities that you should place in your life. It should be taught from the church and the pulpit what we must do. 19 Matthew verses 4 and 6, let me read. And the Messiah, Yahweh, you answered and said unto them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made male and female? Now it's female to female and male to male, or any way you want to do it. But Yahweh said marriage was an institution made from the beginning of male and female. And he said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, here's my key tonight. This is the whole principle, the whole crux of my message. Therefore, what Yahweh hath joined together, let not man put asunder, or let not man separate. Now, for that reason, and that reason right there alone, should give you cause to pause. When you seek a wife, according to Proverbs, and you find one, now, ladies and gentlemen, and everything you find is going to be a wife. And, of course, everything that you find ain't going to be a husband on the woman's side. It equally bears itself, because these are equal. Now, we know the order. It is Yahweh, man, woman, and then children. That's the order. That's the divine covenant order. But Yahweh expects that when two people marry, that they should no longer be controlled or influenced by their parents or outside forces. When a man and woman marry, they are to remain together until Yahweh separates them by death. They are to forsake all others and remain faithful to each other. Now, that was what Yahweh intended from the very beginning. But as you know, from the very beginning, we had a problem. Woman, right out of the gate, began to be unfaithful. Now, let's establish this in Genesis in chapters 1 and 2. Marriage was established by our Creator, Yahweh, on the sixth day of creation. Woman was created from the man and for the man. The woman was the first to sin. She disobeyed Yahweh's command. And because of these things, he said to the woman in Genesis 3:16, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, and in pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be before your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, that is the divine covenant law. And every woman that's had a child, you know that Yahweh remembers Genesis 3:16 as the curse of the womb that has to open and to bear in pain and sorrow. And of course, you know that after the offspring, you begin to raise children, and the Bible said to train them up in the way that they should go. And I'll guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, that that will not necessarily mean that they will obey as they should. There's many disobedient and unthankful and unholy walkers in the flesh, and you could raise one. You could have one. It's strange that out of a family, only maybe one or two, hardly ever over that, but in most cases two or three, are seem like predestinated to fear Yahweh. Now, when it says that the man shall rule over the wife or the woman, it doesn't mean that, you know, that puts him up on a pedestal and he should mistreat her any more as Yahweh is over the man, and since he's over man, that he should mistreat the man. So if you mistreat your wife, you're going to reap what you sow. But if you love your wife, like it says in the book of Ephesians, we'll be in there pretty soon, which says to love your wife even as yourself. Now, that puts it in a different frame of spiritual connotation, meaning that if you really are spiritually connected to that person, you're going to have a desire, spiritually speaking, to please that man or that woman or Yahweh, or all three are going to be sharing in the blessings. Now, let me give you a scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. For man is not from the woman, but woman is from the man. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, in Corinthians 11 and 11, verses 12, nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent or without the man. For in Yahweh, for as the woman was from the man, even so the man is through the woman, but all things are from Yahweh. Now, that means that there's a tight little spiritual bundle package that Yahweh is going to represent or recognize marriage only honorable in his sanction. Now, this gets to critical. Tonight, I could make this statement, and I think it would be a true statement. If all of the people that are married, now the Bible says do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Now, I would like to give you a scripture here that really sets the tone that I'm going to try to leave with you, a spiritual impartation, if you will, about marriage. This is in the seventh chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to begin at verse 37. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. Now, this is the ability to remain as chaste virgins, as he says here, until the act of unification on a condition. Marriage has a spiritual condition. Just because you go down to the justice of the peace on a wild fling, you met her in a bar, she could really dance and shake that thing, or she was very, very sexy, and you were lusting. You see, the pride of life, the pride of the eye, will not produce in you a stable marital relationship. It has to be much deeper than that. Marriage is made not upon the earth, and there is not one scripture where it gives any man the authority to join anyone together. I'm going to repeat that. There is no scripture anywhere that would justify anyone joining anyone else together except that they be joined together in Yahweh. Now, that's crucial. And that is very critical. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of trouble in the marriage. It is going to be filled with dissension, disrespect, dishonor, separations, bitter, envy, revenge. All of those things begin to build. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if man and woman had their eternal spiritual eyes open to this statement, and they was to see exactly who or to whom they should be joined to, there would be more bags, travel bags, ladies and gentlemen, packed tonight. And exchanges of beds or homes, simply because man did not consult or ask directions of Yahweh for his mate. Now, we all like to play the lottery. And ladies and gentlemen, you've probably got more chances of getting struck by lightning twice in the same place as you have playing the lottery, some of these national lotteries. However, people still play hoping for a hit. Well, when you marry, it is not a lottery. Oh, she pleases you or looks well to you. There's more to marriage than the compatibility of the flesh. If you get a spiritual wife, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, if you find a wife, you have found a good thing. But if you haven't, you have found one of the biggest problems that has ever been allowed legally to enter your life. Because, you see, marriage, the courthouse marriage, I'm talking about particularly now in the courthouse marriages, and the justice of the peace or anybody else that has the right to legally marry you together, to join you together. But remember, here in the book of Matthew chapter 19, he said marriage is only honorable in Yahweh. Well, that should bring the two who are seeking counsel not back before the preacher or before the justice of the peace or the Las Vegas quickie getaway, but it should bring them back to the altar where that they should earnestly contend for the faith of revelation that Yahweh has been sanctioned, the marriage, the get-together, because there are several factors that have to enter into the marriage contract by Yahweh. Now, I'd like to give you an example. The woman at the well. The Bible reveals to us that when she met the Messiah, she met a very mysterious spiritual being. And she was astounded, and quite frankly, she was afraid to be honest with him, because he began to question her about her marriage. And after they talked a while, Yahweh mentioned about eternal life. And she said, oh, I'd love to have that. And he metaphorically gave her the illustration of Jacob's well, where he was standing at, which was at Bethel in northern Galilee, near Jacob's well, the one that he dug, where he slept on the stone, and where he got the covenant anointing, and where he brought his bride, Rachel, the love of his life, and Leah, to live and raise his family there at that point. Ladies and gentlemen, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she said the well is deep, because he said, if you'd asked me, I'd give you living water. And when she realized that he was talking about spiritual things, she said, Master, please give me a drink of that water. Now watch this closely, and I'll show you what I'm trying to convey to you tonight in spiritual, audible only in Yahweh. Yahweh said to her, go call your husband. And she looked him straight in the eye, being very, very careful, because she perceived that this man was very truthful, and he had a discernment about him that read the faults and intents of her heart. And I do believe that she was afraid to tell him the truth, because when she said this statement, Yahweh accepted it as the truth, and yet she was somewhat deceiving. This is what she said. She said, Master, I have no husband. Now the Messiah said unto her, thou hast well said, thou hast no husband. You have had five husbands, and the man that you now live with is not your husband. Oh my. Now remember this, ladies and gentlemen, under the law of the Sanhedrin and the law interpreted by the Pharisees and the scribes, you were justified to marry, as it is written here in the 39th verse, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Paul, the anointed one, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, saying that the woman, the wife, in this case she had five, she was living with a sixth one, and the Messiah told her, she said, that's not your husband. Now this is very thought provoking, and it doesn't go well down at the courthouse, where you can walk in and for a fee you can obtain a legal set of marriage papers. And I don't care whatever you chase, drag, or pull, it's like a used car lot, marriage is. Anything you drag, chase, or pull in there in front of them and fork over the money, you can get a contract to marry them. But that ain't what Yahweh is talking about here in Matthew chapter 19. That is not what he's talking about here in the 1 Corinthians chapter 7 concerning marriage. He says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, but only in Yahweh. And right there is the clincher. That is the whole crux of my message. That is the binding spirituality that should be invoked upon all marriages. All marriages needs to be examined to see whether they're on the solid rock. If you found a wife, according to Proverbs, you found a good thing. The Solomon said, one good man in 1,000 I found, but a woman I haven't. They're very hard to come by. A wife is something that is precious. The Bible highly exalts her. Here's a woman that had 5, and she was living with a 6th one, and he wasn't her husband. Now, what are we going to do here? Can you see her going home and explaining to the 6th man that she had in her life? Hey, I met a guy over to the well, and he really inspired me. I'm now convinced that you're not my husband. And he gave me an address of where I should go to find my true husband. Do you think maybe that possibly that they marveled at his doctrine? I believe so. Even in the Sanhedrin court, anything that you could compound if the family decided that they wanted. Now, this we're talking about the customs of Israel at the time of the Messiah. Here's what he was talking against. It had become a tradition long existing of the book of Genesis 3:14. Because the families began to negotiate a dowry for their sons and their daughters to be espoused to certain individuals that they picked. And so man entered into the fray. And whether a woman loved a man or not, she had to marry him if the family got enough of the dowry put together by the opposite family or the male side of the family, if they could deliver enough camels and donkeys and turtle doves and sheep and goats and things of this nature, silver and gold, then the female was betrothed unto the male because of the large payment that was paid for the young maiden. And so it began to be misinterpreted and controlled by the religious body that Christ was speaking against. Now, if that same woman... Now, ladies and gentlemen, if she hadn't had a legal piece of paper from the Sanhedrin court and they'd have found out that she was living illegally contracted, you might say, to this man that she was living, he was the 6th one, they would have stoned her to death as they attempted to stone the young woman that they called in the very act of adultery. At least that's what they thought. They accused her. But when Christ began to write on the ground, whatever he wrote there was a discernment of the intents and the thoughts of his spiritual law that condemned everyone that was going to pick up a stone to stone the young woman to death that was taken in the very act of adultery. And ladies and gentlemen, I assure you that many, many people died as a result of being misinterpreted through the laws of man rather than the laws of Yahweh. What Yahweh have joined together, not man. And it's very important if you ever want peace in your life and stability, if you ever want spiritual gain, it must be sanctioned only, honorably sanctioned in Yahweh. Else, we have what is known as trouble in the flesh. is a very serious matter concerning marriage. We're going to speak for the whole hour upon this subject, as Yahweh has designed both husband and wife for equality and submission. The woman submitting to the man submitting to Yahweh, and Yahweh's will tying both together. The woman that went home to her sixth husband, he said, you've had five, and the one you're now living with is not your husband. This is a complete reversal of the legality of whatever we determine that is legal. That which is highly esteemed among men is clearly an abomination to Yahweh. So, again, if Yahweh was to come down and investigate or look into the marriages and the spiritual compatibility of the two mates, they could be a lot of bags packed tonight in a clearinghouse, and an exchange like the woman that went home. No doubt she had to pack her bags, and I believe that she was really inspired. I do believe that she got the address of her spiritual mate. You say, well, Pastor Betty, that would cause a lot of separations and divorces. Now, my question to you, if it's not honorable in Yahweh, then the marriage is nothing but a what we call and determine in our language today a shack job from the word go. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, listen to this. Wives, submit to your own husband as unto Yahweh. Now, that's pretty strong. Wives, submit to your own husband as unto Yahweh. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject unto Christ, the Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The wife is to voluntarily be submissive to her husband, to be a part of the relationship with the man who is related under Yahweh, to related to the woman. And so then, these three become one, as it is only honorable in Yahweh. She must submit. Now, what is submission? They say that it's much easier for a woman to submit than a man. But that's not true. A woman has to be made to submit. She has to obey a certain set of principles in submission. Although her nature is to submit, there are times when she's not submitting to the right thing, that in her heart she may submit in the physical, but in the mental and in the spiritual, where it must matter, she is unsubmissive. And therefore, the two cannot walk together unless they are completely submissible to agree to the contract that Yahweh's laid out in the contract of marriage. Nowhere in the Bible is the husband told to make his wife obey him. A woman that loves her husband, who is submitted to Yahweh, if she loves Yahweh, she will love the order, the divine order that's coming through. And if it is of Yahweh, she will be as Ruth said, for where thou goest, I go, and what thou doest, I do. Where thou live, I live, and where thou diest, I die. That is a spiritual connection. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to teach our sons and daughters the divine principles of marriage only honorable in Yahweh. The woman that is married to someone that is not submitting themselves to Yahweh is asking for trouble. Oh, they've got a big business. Ladies and gentlemen, a big business and plenty of income will not make you happy. If that be true, Hollywood would be full of happy marriages, and yet it's the most unhappiest place on the earth. 1 Peter chapter 3, listen, as we read here, as we are coming down to the bottom of the air, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your conversation accompanied by your reverence and godly fear. Ladies and gentlemen, when someone is totally, wholly submitted to her head, it will be a spiritual journey of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Otherwise, you shall have problems with the marriage. Now, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. See, those three, it's uniquely connected to spirituality, not to fleshality. To be carnal-minded, oh, you say, well, man, I've got the best-looking wife in town. And the wife could like, well, I caught him because he was a prize. He had a good job. He had a pretty car. He had his hair all slicked back, and his teeth was pearly white, and he had hair on his chest, and he looked like Elvis and a whole lot of shaking going on. Well, that don't make a spiritual marriage. You see, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, most people do not pray and fast about marriage. And yet, we go out, and we go to school, and we meet someone, we fall in love. And did you know what the Bible says about the heart? And I'm sure that most people listen to me that have had examples of puppy love. Or you've had examples of someone you thought you loved, and you really thought that someone loved you, until you got the rest of the story. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that right now, 60% of all marriages at the courthouse end up in divorce court? This is after at least 40% of them have had offspring as a result. And there is a large majority of single parenting going on in the world, particularly the United States. And yet, we have those who call themselves Christians. Listen to this one. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter toward them. If every time that you turn around and every decision is made and you're fussing in a fight and there's something wrong, if you've got a man that fears Yahweh and you will not submit to that, you're just asking for a lot of trouble. And trouble will come. Because the Bible said, Yahweh says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's exactly why Yahweh wants your submission. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if I've got a husband that doesn't love Yahweh, and he don't want to serve Yahweh, do I have to be submissive? Well, if Yahweh is the head of man, and man is not submissive to Yahweh, and you're not submissive to man, that makes both of the wheels or both of the parties out of balance. But if for Christ's sake, and you will pray before your husband, with your conversation being honest toward him and asking Yahweh to step in and put the union in order. And if all else fails, then the Bible says, if you have an unbelieving wife and she's not willing to live with you, let her depart. Because a brother or a sister is not bound in that regard. You do not have to stay in a marriage of unequal yoked. Because the Bible said, be not unequally yoked together. And marriage is only honorable in Yahweh. And I'm not promoting divorce. I'm promoting, before you marry, pray and fast and make your election and a calling sure. For if you are the male, you are the leader of the household. Yahweh's made you responsible. The husband is responsible for the protection of his wife and his children and his family, and he's responsible for the spiritual leadership in the home. Yahweh will never hold a wife responsible for a poor decision of her husband. Therefore, that's why that the Bible said for you to pray. Yahweh is able, if this man is walking contrary, and you know he's a good man in your heart, and you know that you're bound to him in spiritual laws, stay with it. But on the other hand, if you are living with an unbeliever and they're not willing to live under the condition that is set by a spiritual leadership, let that brother or sister depart, because they're not bound by that law. Because Yahweh would not have you unequally yoked together. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians. In chapter 7, again, we're going back there. I'm going to read you verses 3 and 4. Let the husband render to his wife the affection that's due her. And that's very important, that you love your wife as yourself. So if you're a husband, you've got a job to do. Show tender affection. Do not rule over your wife with a physical force. Because Yahweh doesn't slap you up over the side of the head, because he rules over you. And when you do wrong, he doesn't knock you upside the head. He counsels you with love. If you love someone, love is an expression that I'll get into just in a few minutes and show you what submitting with spiritual love is. You know what charity is? It suffers long time, and it's not puffed up. Thinketh no harm. Doeth no harm. Thinketh no harm. So if you love your wife as yourself, then you're going to submit yourself to Yahweh, man, and the woman will submit herself to you. If there is a compatible spiritual connection, right in every opening of the New Testament, I have found that you can find instructions how to treat other people. If you want to look in Matthew, that is one of the most beautiful. In 7 and 12, it says to treat other people the way that you want to be treated. The Bible said if you desire to be someone special, that you should become a servant to one another. So then, if you're always trying to do things, as it's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each one another and to build up one another, even as you do, so do in doing. That means you work on the relationship. You're going to have fleshly disputes and problems. That's normal in a marriage. I mean, Sarah went against Abraham. And Abraham stepped up and was going to disobey until Yahweh stepped in. And lo and behold, he sided with the woman. Because she had said, after she had convinced Abraham to take the wife of Laban, the bondwoman, the Egyptian. Then Sarah, after that Abraham had a child, she saw his growing affection for Ishmael, and she got jealous, and then she commanded that the woman and child be put out of the home. And this grieved Abraham's heart because he got effectively close to his son by Keturah, the Egyptian woman. And he said, I can't do that. You're asking me something I can't do. And Yahweh said, you obey her. And did you know what the Bible said that Abraham did? He obeyed Yahweh. So sometimes you must let Yahweh step in to decide which one, male or female, is correct. So sometimes your female counterpart can be correct. And if you can correct her, she can correct you. If she does it within the legal, spiritual commandments of love. Comfort each other. That's what it's all about. A husband and wife should be building each other up, not tearing each other down. They should be pulling together, not in opposite directions. They should love the same things. You say, well, yeah, I used to love to go to the ball games and party, and now he don't do that anymore. And you say, well, I used to love to go to the bar, and she did too, but now she don't do that anymore. Well, somebody's going to have to change. And of course, you know what side right is and wrong is. Submit yourself one to another as unto Yahweh. That's what the Bible said. Therefore, in Colossians 3 and 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against the other, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also forgive them. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of Yahweh rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Yahweh dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and gracefully making melody in your heart to Yahweh, that whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Yahweh, giving thanks to Him that He might be glorified. How should you treat your wife? Well, you should treat her just like she's treating you. Or at least like you would like to be treated. And then, if she gets out of line, that's when you have the effect of Yahweh coming in and making sure that He can show you which way's right or which way's wrong. Now, love is slow to lose its patience. So, men, there's one thing that you don't have. Just like myself, you don't have a lot of patience. And because you're physically stronger than your wife, it doesn't mean that you should walk around with your chest stuck out and you're macho. If you think more kindly of you seeing you on your knees telling Yahweh about her than it would for you to start telling her to her face about herself. Did you know that love doesn't demonstrate irritations or reflect anger, doesn't have a quick temper? It has fully accepted the character of the one that is loved unconditionally. Oh my, just like Yahweh. Love looks for a way to be constructive, not destructive. Love is actively creative. It is able to recognize the needs. It discovers successful methods of improving or contributing to one's life. Love is not possessive. See, that's the problem. If you're always afraid that your wife's going to run off and you're holding on to her for dear life, and you're squeezing her just like you'd have a bird. A bird will sit on your shoulder much longer than it will being squeezed between your hands and given no space. Love does not hold excessive control where one is allowed little or no freedom to fulfill theirself apart from the one who loves them. Love is not anxious to impress. Love doesn't seek to make an impression or to create an image for personal gain. Love does not cherish inflated ideals of its own importance. It is not self-centered. It has the ability to change and to accept change. It is flexible. It doesn't allow or expect life to be revolving around oneself. Love has good manners. It has respect for others, which results in a set of Yahweh-centered standards. It has discretion. It knows what is proper and when. Love does not pursue selfish advantage. It does not have primary concern for personal appetites or for social status, but it shows concern for needs of the loved ones and the families to see that they are strong in Yahweh. Love is never touchy. Love is not hypersensitive or easily hurt. It does not take everything personally. It is not emotionally involved with personal opinions, so that to reject ideals is to reject one that is given them. Love does not keep an account of evil. Love doesn't review the wrongs and bring up the past, which has been forgiven. It does not dwell on past sins. It destroys evidence of past mistakes whenever possible. So if you have someone that's vengeful and always bringing up your past, you know that there is a root of bitterness that dwells in their heart. Love doesn't keep account of evil. Love doesn't review wrongs which have been forgiven. It does not dwell on past sins. It destroys the evidence of past mistakes whenever possible. Love doesn't gloat over the wickedness of the people. Love doesn't compare itself with others for self-justification. It doesn't use other sins to excuse personal weakness. Love is glad when all godly men, when truth prevails, and the stronger your husband is in the truth, the more sister you ought to love him. The more your wife stands for the truth, young man, you ought to love him. So you young people that are thinking about getting married, and you older people that are thinking about getting a divorce, you need to think about that on your knees. There's no end to love. That's what a ring represents. It's eternal. That's what the circle represents. It's eternal. It has no beginning, and it has no end. Love believes in the person that's loved and the person's worth without a question. It has no reason to doubt the person's integrity, no matter how many faults and wrongs of its past. There is no fading of love's confidence. Love is not fickle. It has perfect peace and confidence that Yahweh is primarily responsible for introducing the right partner at the right time if you'll pray before entering into a relationship. Love has unlimited endurance. Love is able to outlast anything that would come against your faith. It is able to endure all obstacles and even love in the face of unreturned love. Now, why must a wife submit to her husband? It's fitting and proper, according to Colossians 3:18, that the word be not dishonored, according to Titus 2 and 5. It pleases Yahweh, according to Colossians 3:20. How must a wife submit? According to Ephesians 5:33, with genuine respect. According to Ephesians 5:21, in the fear of Yahweh. Ephesians 6 and 5, with obedience. with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, with fear and trembling. In Colossians 3, 22 and 23, from the heart and the soul. 1 Peter 3 and 4, with a gentle and quiet spirit. When a woman is forward, and her husband has to stay in the background, and she's taking the lead, there's something wrong. It's the cart before the horse thing. And ladies and gentlemen, I know it as soon as I see it. Every home that's in order, you'll find the peace and the liberty when you visit it. Otherwise, just ask for a drink of water and depart as soon as possible, because there's no peace there. If you salute the place and there's no peace, then leave as quickly as possible. Well-pleasing. A wife should submit as though she was submitting to Yahweh, Colossians 3:23. Not with eye service, but with sincerity from the heart, Ephesians 6 and 6. Well-pleasing and not argumentative. Every time she wants to argue about it, Titus 2 and 9 says that she shouldn't do that. To be ready to do any good deed, Titus 3 and 1. With respectful behavior, 1 Peter 3 and 2. Verbally accepting your husband as the leader, according to 1 Peter 3 and 6. Sarah even called Abraham master. And remember to clothe yourself with humility, which is a meek and a quite humble spirit, which is in the sight of Yahweh a great price. 1 Peter 5 and 5. Now, ladies and gentlemen, by doing all these things, by submitting yourself according to Colossians 3 and 18, wives, submit yourself to your husbands as it is fitting in Yahweh. 1 Peter 3 and 1 says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that in any of them, if they do not believe the word, that they may be won over by the words and the behavior that you display in a believer. For this is the way that holy women of the past, according to 1 Peter 3 and 5, who put their hope in Yahweh, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands in all things. With the man submissive to Yahweh in all things work together to good for them that love Yahweh and are called according unto these purposes. Wife, submit yourself to your husband in everything, according to Ephesians 5, 22 and 24, which I'll close on this subject, that marriage is only honorable in Yahweh, for the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but after the husband dies, she is free to marry whomsoever she will, only in Yahweh. Well, let's go back before the husband died that maybe she couldn't get along with. If she would have looked for marriage honorable in Yahweh to start with, then the marriage could have worked out. Did you know that a lot of men die young because of stress and strain of a marriage and broken relationship, and they're brokenhearted? These things are very, very needful to be expressed. I love you tonight, and if you'd like to write me, my time is already gone, and I am just now getting warmed up to this message. You can write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you would like to call me, I'm free tonight to take your call at area code 423-626-2172. Remember my sponsors tonight, Brother Gary, Dr. Gary, down in the great state of Louisiana, 1-877-289-7439, and would like to request prayer for Dr. Gary. He just lost his wife to ovarian cancer. She was only 46 years of age. She was buried on Easter Sunday of this beginning month. Ladies and gentlemen, comes to sad occasion. They had two children, but they're in good hands. Dr. Gary is a wonderful father, and pray for him that he will be strong and that Yahweh will bless him with someone to help him raise his two children, his two very young children. So Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, a wonderful man, and my good friend Brother Paul in Michigan for STEM Tech, and his contact number is 1-800-253-2748. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to me tonight and you would like to have information on our water machine, we have got wonderful results. We're going to talk about that some in the days to come. Let me give you a number to call. Call Gary at 1-618-924-2473. That's Gary at 1-618-924-2473. And tell him, of course, that Pastor Buddy sent you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here because the old clock on the wall has caught up with us far too quickly tonight. I've enjoyed being with you, and may Yahweh's richest blessing be upon your life. As we get out of here tonight, I wish you the best and happy marriage in Yahweh.